Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of Hot Rod Blues Podcast. I am your host, Sean Brereton. To my right is...
Javier Augustine. This is After Hours.
After Hot Hours.
After Hours.
Okay. Yeah.
Steel Rose Metal Co., Mike Abbott.
Sean Young, Kingfish Metalworks.
And Matt Marion.
Sexy.
On the ones and twos.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't have a guest on this one, but we are in a weird spot for us normally. So yeah. We are in a furniture market. Like what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's right, folks. All these cars are furniture that you can buy.
That's right.
That's right. We're going to cut them all up and make them into couches. No, we're down here at World Customs Auto Show down in Tupelo, Mississippi at the Tupelo Furniture Market.
Yes.
Which I'm well aware of. But we've already talked about that.
That's right.
We're straight back to that.
Yeah, right?
Let me tell you something about myself.
We're right back to that. Yeah, it's all about me, in case you didn't know. But no, we are... Well, Mike, I'll let you take it over. What have we been doing here?
Harold Sullivan, the promoter of the show, him and his wife, who are fantastic, they contacted me probably about a month and a half ago. Kind of late for this type of thing, but they're fantastic people. They're who contacted me about doing this show before, and they wanted us to come down and do something. So we scrambled to figure out who had what cars and what we were going to do. And Joel at Oddballs Customs, Joel Booker, he had this Buick, 49 Buick. He sent me a picture, and I looked at it, and I was like, man, that could be a cool car to do. So I called him and I said, man, I'm down with doing that car. One stipulation.
Hold on. What do we got going on over here?
I don't know what that is.
What's happening?
I think they're going to clean the
floors. Closing the door. That's a door.
They're closing the big door.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Don't mind that big door sound in the background. Yeah. We are here after hours.
Actually, this is the quietest podcast that we've done today. So normally it's you guys back there like doing.
Yeah.
Which you heard how loud that is, by the way?
Yeah. You should hear a grinder.
Yeah, a grinder or a Sawzall. Yeah, it's super.
Progress
super
doesn't stop for you, man.
Right.
So, that's right. So I contacted Joel and said, hey, man, I'm down with doing that car. Let's do a chop. One stipulation, you have to let me take it from a four-door to a two-door. And Joel is pretty fond of four-doors, and there was some hesitation there. But he got back to me and said, yeah, man, let's do it. So that's where we sit.
And there it is.
So, yeah.
It's actually sitting... as a two-door now.
Yeah. Oh, you guys have that on video, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're looking at looking at it right now.
Yeah.
So, so it's 4 inches in the front?
We chopped it 4 inches in the front. It's actually the exact reverse of what we normally do. So normally we'll chop it, you know, 4.5 inches in the front, and then we try to get somewhere around 6 or 6.5 in the back. But as we've said in a number of things that we've done prior to this, that back window really limits, and we were pretty hell-bent that we wanted to keep the factory back glass, so that limited us, so the back only wound up 3 inches, which is generally considered a California chop, to where you chop the front more than the back.
Wait a minute.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Wait, that means that Mike Abbott is doing something California-esque.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's what they normally call it. We call it something different
here. That's right. That's right.
It's the Mississippi
chop.
Hold
on. We're taking it back. That's the Memphis chop.
Memphis chop.
We're taking it back.
Taking it back.
That's right. We're not calling it a California chop ever again. It's going to be the Memphis chop.
Yeah. Or the Tupelo front low, as we like to call it.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And of course, the craziest part about the about doing this particular build is that you had to you know, going from four door to two door, you had to take some of the section out of the rear door, put it into the front door, move That's the right. B pillar, all that kind of stuff. So it's been pretty nuts.
Yeah.
You ever
yeah.
done anything like that before?
All yeah, yeah. I've taken four doors and made them two doors before. Yeah. Normally, you're not doing it in 3 days, and normally you're not also chopping the vehicle at the exact same time. So as far as chopping one the way that we're chopping it and taking a four door, no, this is number one the first time that I've, especially in this time frame that we're working right. with. But you know, all you guys, everybody on hand that jump in and do this stuff, man, you guys are fantastic, and that's the reason why stuff like this is possible.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And you know, I think we should probably give a shout out to some of the guys that we're working on. Obviously, it's Joel Booker's car.
Yes.
And his wife Crystal. We've got Javier's yes. been working on it like crazy.
Bomber Steel Cut.
Javier Carrasco.
I don't have a banner next time.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's well, right.
I can help you out with that. I know a guy. I know a guy.
Sean knew that guy the day before that guy got a discount.
I know. Right? I didn't know you knew
I loved watching that text, by the way. Yes. As somebody who had no monetary investment in what y'all were doing.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I get a discount at this place. Sure. Oh, dope.
Yes.
Sean goes, I could have known if I put a big order in yesterday, so then thanks for that.
That's what happens.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm a vendor now, just so you know.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But obviously, Matt Marion has been doing a lot of work as well.
Yes.
Probably the two big boys, I guess, would be the captains, more or less, be Greg Boren. Greg Boren was kind of in charge of the doors.
Yeah, Matt Marion was on Greg's team.
Yeah, Steve was also on Greg's team, wasn't he? Steve,
yeah,
What's Steve's last name?
Montgomery.
Montgomery. That's it, dude.
Yeah.
It's on his Facebook thing, but I'm like, you know everybody from one.
Right, one word.
Yeah.
Powdercoat Steve.
Powdercoat Steve.
Steve.
That's everybody in every industry that we encounter. Yeah. You don't know their last name. You either put what they do in front or behind.
Well, then we got other Matt. I have no idea what his name is. It's just other Matt. That's all I know, right?
Matt Clark.
Yeah,
Matt Clark.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Roadster Matt.
And then
Roadster Matt.
Roadster Matt.
That's right. And then
it might stick, buddy.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's not a bad one.
That's a good moniker, I think.
Right, you're right.
The name's Roadster Matt.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then we got Philip Vickery.
Yeah, Philip Vickery. So he was kind of in charge of the
He's in charge of the top.
Yeah,
the top. I don't ever make myself a. You know, we always try and do these things in teams. You know, we'll a lot. You know, like when we did Matt's car, we had an assembly team that was on the assembly side, and then we had the guys that were doing the chop and the body things of it. But we always try and break it up to where it's not so overwhelming. I never want to be a captain. Especially because, man, I've said it before, and Greg is definitely one of those guys, but Philip Vickery is kind of like, he is my leveler. He's normally involved, and he always keeps me from doing stupid things.
Yeah.
Like, he's good at that.
He stopped you today on something, right?
I really wanted to flip that back
window. You still want to.
I still want to, right now.
I think Joel had a lot to do with that, too.
Yeah. So,
I think Joel would have done it, but he would have done it begrudgingly.
Right, yeah.
There were some compromises he wouldn't do. It seemed like meatloaf. Like, he'd do anything for a chop.
Right.
But I won't do that. And what I won't do is not. Like, he could have been talked into the flippy flip. The shoebox transplant, and I'll say it now because we're not doing that.
Yeah.
I feel a little butt hurt. I spent a whole afternoon chopping up the rest of a four-door shoebox to bring. Unbeknownst to him, Joel, you did this. you broke me, man.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, no, I brought it down here, and it was going to be this big reveal. Ha ha!
Yeah, yeah.
And then
me and Javier kind of we
pre-planned failure.
We pre-plotted.
So you guys were figuring the back window out of a Ford shoebox.
Yeah.
Instead of what's there,
it's way easier to lay down flatter.
Okay.
Because of the shape of it.
Yeah, it's the radius when it on the curve of the glass. The compromise you do when you're doing a bigger body car. Like, I'm just a super big expert, but I know what's visually pleasing. Mercury's this type of vehicle, those bomber type. Vehicles from the 30s and 40s, they're just so big in the window on the rear, and it would be like a Victoria. It's just the compromise is you shrink the window because the shoebox is not as much to deal with, and the curve doesn't wrap around the sail
panel.
Yeah,
because when you take a when you shorten one, you move that window forward.
Right.
You're moving the whole window, that whole wraparound.
And you're negotiating with the car and visually, you know, how that is going to all lay. Like you're making that compromise with the car lines.
Right.
Every time.
Right.
Yeah. So and this one was the rear window is pretty difficult on this one to get that line proper. But you know, we like challenging. I mean, that's the whole reason why we did this whole thing. Like it's always a matter of like, how can we raise the bar every time we do this? Mm-hmm. Eventually, we'll find the point that we fail. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be there for that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I want to find where we're going to fail.
And it's how we're going to fail, which is with our faces straight and our chins up. Because
I hope miserably.
No, I mean it's gonna be a disaster. And I said it earlier, like we're gonna bite off more than we can chew.
That's right.
How it happens.
Yeah,
but we're gonna be frustrated. But at the end of the day, we'll be like, I don't see anybody else trying this.
That's how big
that failure is gonna be.
For sure,
fail big, but don't get anybody hurt.
No,
you hear that, America?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So
that's it.
And I mean, how do you know your lines unless you push the limitations? That's the goal, is pushing limitations.
Yeah.
And you know, inspiring people along the way. I have to say that, like, you know, yesterday was kind of rough. You know, we had some people complaining and stuff like that about what we were doing. No.
Nobody on our team.
That's one of the things about our team.
That's not our team. Yeah. It wasn't my team.
Yeah, that's right. Our team is fantastic. Yeah. But we had some people at the show complaining, and rightfully so. You know, they spent a lot of money on their paint jobs, and we are blowing dust all over the place. We did our best to alleviate that. So I was kind of a little down in the dumps yesterday. Yeah. Like, man, normally
people are stoked
about this.
Well, you do feel bad. You do feel bad. Anything that, as a person who cares about other persons.
Yeah.
When somebody has a complaint, you're like, oh, did I do that? I caused it. You do the whole Steve Urkel thing, like, but not like so jokingly. Did I do that?
Right.
Like, you're like,
yeah.
Okay, so you're unhappy because of some stuff I'm doing.
Right.
Man, we were asked to do this stuff, and this is the only way this stuff happens.
Well, our hands are kind of tied.
Exactly.
Like, we came here for a purpose, and we have to do that at the end of the day. Yeah. But today, on the other hand, man, today was fantastic.
We had a lot of people come through.
It was fantastic. And that kid.
There was a couple kids.
William.
But there was a couple. There was a standout.
That kid.
William.
Nine-year-old. He was unreal, man.
Yeah.
Like. He just kind of rolled up, and he had this little chair with him, you know, this little stool that he'd been carrying around.
Did you see him when he first got here? He started out in the rear.
Yeah.
The chair was in the back.
Yeah.
And then
he's moving.
Yeah. And then, boom, he was right up on the...
Yeah.
He was right up on the...
Before you know it, he's holding your welder.
Yeah. I went out there to sit down, you know, really to just look at the car from a distance, you know, and sitting down. And, you know, I always, like, shoot up conversation with the people that are in there. What do you think about it? You know, and this and that. And man, that kid came from behind me with that little stool, set it down right beside me, and he's like, hey, you were working on that car. And man, he just started popping it off. You ever heard of Ed Roth? I'm like, what? And I'm like,
you're a 9-year-old?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I've heard of Ed Roth. You like Ed Roth? He's like, yeah. What's your favorite car? I'm like, man, I don't really know the name, but it's the motorcycle hauler. And he was like, I've never seen that. I said, well, I'll find it. What's your favorite car? It's like the Beatnik Bandit. I'm like,
right on.
Like,
you check his ear for an earpiece.
Yeah,
like I'm being punked right now.
It was and I mean, he just started rattling stuff up. Like, this kid was in it.
Oh, he was
in it.
There's no faking the fun.
And he was nonstop too, man. I mean, like, so
in it.
So you guys, Mike brought him back behind and showed him how to do some things, had him working a ratchet, right? You know, whatever. And the kid, like, talked nonstop.
He talked himself into front and center. He winds up bead rolling the head.
Mike finished
telling the story about how we left this kid.
First, I was going to ask, did he like and subscribe?
You know what?
I don't know.
You know what?
I don't know if he did. He's nine.
You
maybe
know what?
Let's,
maybe we should stop talking about it.
Yeah, I was say, don't worry. He's got the
support
sticker.
Those who support He'll you. Be,
hold yeah, on. I will tell you this. He told me straight up that you know, he spends hours a day on YouTube watching car builders, watching anything Ed Roth, anything rat thing.
I wish that kid would find us.
Yeah.
That, I would interact with that kid all the time on that thing.
He will. He studies it. I mean, he is a study
So he was here with his grandparents.
Yeah.
His granddad is car guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure if his parents are car people, but I get the idea that they are.
Right.
And granddad for definitely sure is. Yeah. And grandma was there.
Very
and she
supportive.
Was, like, they were so nice. I mean, like, to me, they were just so super supportive, and
yeah,
and they were so excited about what was happening there. Yeah. It was just really, really cool.
It was.
And yeah, so it's I'll speak for Mike. So Mike ended. Yeah, sorry about that. Didn't mean I hit it with my hand. I was making sure to keep my knee away from the table. But
I wanted
still
an excuse
hit,
to touch your leg.
Yeah. yeah, but the kid was so into Ed Roth and those kinds of things that Mike had started rolling a Rat Fink. Just a RF
yeah.
yesterday, and we had actually talked yesterday about, like, oh, you know, what should we do with this? You know, should we just, you know, do a raffle or whatever, just to, you know, just a door prize name, whatever.
I knew, you know, and I knew, like, back to yeah. him being frustrated, yeah. I knew he was upset because this was around the same time that was happening, and I can always tell when Mike is kind of, he doesn't get upset. Mike doesn't get upset. He does. Everyone does. But mm-hmm. like when we're doing something like this, very reserved. Mm-hmm. But I could tell it was under his skin what we were all appreciating, which was the dust thing. And what are you going to do with that? And Sean says, what are you going to do with that? Raffle it away or give it away or door prize it? He goes, I don't know. I might finish it. Maybe I'll fold it up and throw it in the trash. I don't know. I was like, I'm over here like with a grinder, and I heard that. I was like, he's upset. I don't know. Who's getting his gizzard?
He's just doing it to take care of.
This is why I'm on the build
frustration. Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of how the way – that's kind of how the way it works, you know. You just kind of set something to the side and – next thing you know, there's that, you know, and that happened last time.
Perfect.
One of the guys that's been watching us a whole lot, I can't remember his name, and if you watch us, excuse me that I can't remember your name, but it was kind of the same deal. You know, he's watching bead rolling, and, you know, I'm trying to show techniques and, you know, just make it interesting for people. He's like, man, I did an RF last year, too.
Yeah.
He's like, man, that Rat Fink thing is cool. I'm like, yeah, you did the Red Ed Roth, and we just start kind of jiving a little bit. He's like, yeah. And he pulls up his arm, and he's got an Ed Roth tattoo. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure this should be yours.
That guy. Yeah.
Well, it's like, back to that, the whole universe thing. You were half in on that, you know, because you were started that before that complaint came in.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were so frustrated, you stopped.
Right.
In a, like, as you should if you're working on something like that. But if you hadn't have stopped, you wouldn't have had it ready for this kid. So really,
that's how it
was
works.
Was the universe being mean at the moment, or was it just setting you up?
Well, the cool,
that's right.
The
coolest, that's exactly
the
right.
The coolest part, though, was that you know, you worked with him to finish it off.
Yeah,
man, he did. He laid the last beat roll down.
Yeah, he laid quite a few little things on there, and that's really cool. I mean, the kid did great.
He'll have that thing forever, man.
Oh, yeah. Epic.
Dude, I mean,
made my whole day.
Oh, yeah,
that thing right there.
I'm telling you,
made Rod's day for sure.
Yeah,
I think the ultimate for all of us is one day we get to see that hanging in his shop, and he's doing things like this.
Yeah,
and it will.
I hope so.
I think it will. That kid will.
Yeah. I was gonna say, speaking of, we did not finish off the rest of the group, by the way, which I feel bad about that. Now that I said Rod, so
yeah,
Rod Short came all the way down from Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Yeah, I can't remember where he lives. The little town, Kentucky.
Newbern, Kentucky.
There
you
go. So he came down last week, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah, he's been
in town for a while.
Yeah,
and came down, worked with us. Did you know he's been hammering away, helping Greg a lot. Who else have we? Who
big
else
movie star
are
we
name? Not thinking about
that guy.
Got Steve.
I've never told him that. Rod Austin. Right. Starring Rod Austin.
Sounds like not the kind of movie.
I didn't say what kind of movie.
Is it Rod Austin? Yeah, I said Rod Short, didn't I?
Rod.
Yeah. Sorry. I used to.
Boogie Nights 2023. Rod Austin.
Rod Austin.
Starring.
It is. Yeah. So, all right. Is there anybody else we're missing? We need to give a shout out.
Chad
to
Wiseman, how you
Chad
doing?
Chad.
Oh
you
at, no, buddy? We're not giving Chad.
He showed up all day and helped us set up.
Oh, all right, fine.
Look at the pictures.
All right.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's in every one of the pictures
with the back of his head.
Hey, Chad.
Poor Chad.
Sorry, Chad. Sorry, man.
Is he coming tomorrow?
I don't know.
He can't make it, but he was wearing
He was wearing the red shirt today.
The Edge Ear Chop.
Was he?
He was wearing that shirt.
Oh, the legends, the black legends.
He sat there and watched football all day, drinking beer, wearing that.
Drinking beer, watching football all day, being like, sorry. Sorry, I couldn't be there, guys. Yeah.
So we should mention, if you go to our Facebook page, there's a lot of go lives that show exactly what's happened here.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, we've done a bunch.
And maybe watch it and set it to alert you when we go live.
You could. Ring the bell.
Ring the bell thingy. Well, I think the ring the bell thing.
That's on YouTube.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But either way, just go to our Facebook page. Yeah.
That's enough self-promotion.
Yeah. Facebook will notify you when we go live if you follow our page on Facebook.
Yeah. So. And your notifications.
And if you have not seen this guy's hat, it is epic.
This is a good hat.
So is this a new hat?
Huh? This is a Christmas present from my dad.
Yeah.
It's a Stetson.
See how he sets it up where you can't talk crap about it?
Dude, I know. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
From your dad.
Well, you know, it's weird because it's cool though.
Your dad knows hats because that fits you really well.
The whole thing about this is a style of cowboy hat, and it's called the Open Road.
That's right.
And I've seen these my entire life, and it's the cool thing about getting old is you can wear goofy hats and you don't look out of place. So there you go.
Hank Williams Sr.'s manager used to.
He did. No, I know he did. Hank Williams.
And Hank Williams did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, I think, maybe not the JFK, but who was the president after JFK?
Reagan?
Who cares?
No.
Roosevelt? No.
Who came after Roosevelt?
We were really showing our...
I know,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I should have paid attention in civics.
Right?
JFK? Was it not?
After JFK?
Yes, the guy that took over after JFK.
Man.
He was a Texan.
We are terrible Americans.
I was going to say, it's 9 o'clock at night. I know.
If only there was a machine.
Right.
Hold on.
Yeah, isn't that why we have a production guy? Over
yeah,
here? isn't that what he's supposed to be doing?
Matt is just as exhausted as us.
I'm gonna say Roosevelt, but it's not. He's the guy I'm thinking about, started Vietnam.
Hold on, I want to give a shout out also to Hutch for inviting us to dinner. That place was epic.
How about it?
Oh my god,
Nautical Whimsy.
Oh wow,
if you guys come. If anyone ever comes down to Tupelo, even if you're up in Memphis and you're thinking, where should we go to eat?
Drive to Tupelo to Nautical Whimsy.
Yes. I know it sounds crazy. Nautical Whimsy, you're like, oh, what is it? Some kind of sailor place or whatever? But it is Italian food. And steaks.
In a basement.
Well, we were in the basement, which is rightfully so. They should put us in the basement.
Yes.
But they have the best food. We didn't get one, but the meatball appetizers, like that is like a pound of meat. And then.
That's some big balls.
Yeah, right? Well, so the big balls are the.
You're singing AC/DC?
The big balls are the cheese, fried mozzarella cheese.
Yes.
That's like
which equates out to a government sized block of cheese that they roll in panko crust, and then they tell you, but better quality.
They are.
I'm not saying they're bad.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
Just giving you proportions.
Right. Yeah. I just don't want anybody to think it's government cheese. It's all rolled up in there.
There's nothing wrong with good.
I love commodity.
Spoken like a guy who's never eaten government cheese. Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't growing there.
It helped us to grow big and strong. Don't hate on government cheese.
It's got young fructose in it. That's good for you.
Well, anyway, so tomorrow.
Anyways, poor people talk.
Nautical Whimsy. Good to go. So tomorrow we've got a lot of finishing to do on this thing.
Yes.
I assume that tomorrow is a lot of time around that back window.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a lot. And it's not just a lot of time around the back window. So in stretching the front doors and shrinking the back doors, it comes with its own loop of problems because there's door gaps. And especially in 1949, there's excessive door gaps. And you're trying to close those up, which, of course, if you cut 5 inches out of the back, right, common sense would tell you put 5 inches back in the front. And everything
Perfect.
Is good.
That's not how that works.
Except for you're not thinking about the half inch gap that was in the door.
So you do half inch, half inch.
Now we're 1 inch difference. Then you do another half inch, another. Now we're and you're 2 inches difference. So it's a we're winding up bridging gaps between doors on the back panels to make all that solid, and making up a bunch of little minute differences just on the door sections alone. But then we also got a ton of handmade panels that got to get seamed in there and shaped and built as nice as possible. In fact, everybody is really excited about the progress, but in, well, of course, in my mind, we're always behind the game. So,
well, that's probably because that's reality. Really.
That's right. Right. That's right. But yeah, we're good at pulling it out in the ninth inning.
It's a 3-day show, man.
Yeah.
You're doing 8 weeks worth of work in 3 days.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But like I say, the guys that help us are fantastic, and we always pull it out in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
It might be the ninth inning and 2 hours late.
Oh, we shut them down.
No. We got a long way to go to get home. Yeah. We got a lot of crap to pack up.
It doesn't matter.
I'm
just saying, I don't accept failure easy.
I know. We'll get there. I think you guys will get there.
Today, so this is not the show where we fail.
I didn't assume that you guys would have quit this early, but I guess everybody was so full and
Well, I mean, you get to a point to where you keep going, and we were. Everybody was still gun-ho.
The energy started to pick back up.
Yeah. The problem is you get to such a point to where you've looked at something so long that you start making stupid mistakes.
Or rushing.
Because you're just trying to get this next thing done.
What did Hobby do this time?
Nothing. No, I was at that point. You know, we were setting up the B pillars, and I'm like,
off the ledge,
bro. Yeah, and I'm like tacking things, and then I'm trying to twist things, and I'm like, we got to stop. It's done. It's over. We're done. Let's shut the music down. We're all to that point. And we still have a very full day tomorrow. So
yeah,
we work till 1 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's going to be here at 9:15, like you were. And then
I'd like to take a minute to discuss what happened before Sean got here late. It doesn't matter.
let's talk about that.
I got here before things were chopped. I got here at the time that I needed.
You weren't
to be.
Here. You're not allowed to talk about what happened before you were here. So there we were. Everybody was here on time.
Set the stage.
It's not really that complicated. Sean wasn't here. Somebody popped Bebop through. Was it you? Who? I don't know who. It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Somebody's walking by like.
Oh, so nobody's going to take.
You're not talking right now, guy who wasn't here.
Yeah, but nobody's going to take responsibility
just can't
for
let
what's
it go.
About to happen.
No, I'll tell. Okay, it was me. We're going to bet on what time you're. We're going to bet on what time Sean's not going to be here. That's the bet.
Yeah.
Now, we had to put some qualifiers in there because there was some. You would be saddened to hear how late the actual numbers started off. Noon was the first bet, and everyone was like, I don't know. He's a professional. He's probably 11:45.
I gave you the earliest bet.
Yeah.
I did.
So we're taking bets, and it's a gentleman's bet, $1, and the pot goes to the winner. And I'm excited because
they
that's
screwed me.
At least $10. Right. That's going to buy lunch.
I got got.
So
I didn't get got.
You didn't get got. Let me explain. Because I knew, and this is where the qualifier came in. Somebody said, it's like the price is right. I'll bid $1. And I was like, well, that's not going to work because the lowest guy is going to win whether he's way off or whatever. You got to put it over under a 5-minute qualifier.
I missed that part. They discussed that without me.
It's funny how the guy that would have won missed to that.
So hold on.
So who did win?
Nobody
won.
Then.
Nobody won.
Huh?
Why?
Because there was an over-under 5-minute qualifier. He chose 9:15.
No. So I wasn't in anybody's
window. 9:35 was.
It was a 10 or a 15 minute. I think over and under.
It was 5.
It was 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I bet 9:00. You showed up at 9:15. But nobody else bet within 5 minutes of that.
Okay.
Which is why everyone was excited and then immediately disappointed that nobody won. And then everybody was glad they didn't lose $1. These games go back and forth.
Hey, Mike, I was actually here. I was just sitting out in the parking lot.
Oh, there was another rule that we couldn't call you or call your wife.
Somebody, yes, I need to see your phone. True. Somebody text you.
I got to go to the bathroom real quick. No reason.
Wake up, you dunce.
That's hilarious.
Wake up. I got $10 riding on this.
Yep.
Yeah. It's actually written on the roof of that car.
I know.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I've got pictures. you can post it, Sean.
It actually said, what did it say?
I sent it to my wife, and she just sent back the little emoji that was like this.
What time Sean will get here? That's a gentleman's bed. Everything's got to be out there.
I sent it to her and just said, guess what this is? And she was like, everybody's bedtime? I'm like, guess, but I'm like, no. They were all guessing what time I was going to get here.
How it actually started is I got a Newsies wood crate and I threw it down on the ground. I said, all right, here, who's got action on Sean?
We're taking bets.
Sean, and when I left the hotel, was fast asleep. I knocked on his door incessantly. He told me to go away.
I'm amazingly fast to just get up out of bed and go.
You had a roommate.
I did have a roommate. I feel sorry for my roommate, but that's
okay.
I'm
sure he punched you in the ribs on the way out.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't kicked us out of here.
We're paying customers.
Well, they're trying to lock up doors.
Yeah.
We probably have to make this short.
And I do have to drive.
Yeah. So. You're going all the way back to Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay. That's just par for the course for him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. Just drive at some weird time of whatever.
Yeah. Firefighter.
Yeah.
Anybody want to take bets on what time I get home?
Hey, at least he has a new engine.
Yeah, so Javier's got big stuff happening.
No. Like, no, I'm just functioning again.
Yeah. Just back to normal.
Yeah. No. I guess if you were following the show, you saw all the drama with the Jeep. There's no longer a supercharger on it.
Right.
I was able to trade the supercharger for, you know, labor to get the new motor put in.
Dig that.
Brand new motor.
Man, that sucker, it was spanking brand new looking.
Yeah.
The motor? It only had 48 miles.
48 miles. That's nuts.
That motor came out of a vehicle that got the motor that I wanted, which was a Hellcat Hemi motor. Yeah. As I do not have $60,000 to have a shop do that, I'm just driving the car.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is cool.
American Motor Works.
Dude, that's cool Jeep, though.
They do the swaps. There's a couple other shops, but you go online right now, $60,000.
Wow.
I think Dakota is another kit.
Yeah.
You can do yourself for $30,000.
So what do they call that? The Hellifant?
Is
that right?
No, that's another. That's a bigger tier. More top tier.
And you can get that in a Jeep?
It's a 426. No, I'm sure somebody will put it in there.
Yeah.
Wow. You can get the Demon motor, which is a 802 horsepower.
Ooh.
You can get a Hellcat, which is supercharged at
707.
And then the most popular, which is 392.
392.
I think 400. I don't want to go into that.
I mean, the good part about 392 is you could throw a cam in it and boop. You're right there.
Yeah. Or you could just put it in the Jeep and just drive the wheels off that thing and not have to worry about performance problems.
I bet that's a handful in a Jeep.
Dude, I drove a Jeep with an LS swap in it.
Yeah.
For Art and Speed, you know, I was going to take pictures of it and stuff.
So, what year?
2018, maybe. Yeah. I mean, it was a newer Jeep or whatever, but man, that's crazy in a four-wheel drive to have that kind of power. Really?
There's not an off-the-shelf. I looked into that because I was like, I'm not above LS swapping the crap out of this thing. At this point, when the motor went bad, I was like, I'll go to the junkyard or get a crate motor, and I'll do it that, you know, for that.
Yeah.
They don't have a kit for the JL and JT, which is 2019 and up.
Oh, they just, the new one. Okay. I'm
so
like,
the Jeeps run.
I'm like, this was a kit, whatever
so,
it was.
Well, yeah. So, but that's the 2018 and down.
Yeah, right.
So the problem with Jeep is they run on a CAN bus. So when you're running, if anybody gets into the minutia of the whole thing, when you're taking a GM product and trying to interface it with Dodge, the CAN bus doesn't speak the same language.
Yeah, talk language.
You have to reprogram it and have this interface. And I don't want to lie where he's at, but there's a guy, I think in Alabama or Florida, that does these kits, but he hasn't done the interface yet for that year model.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, it's coming. I'm sure.
Oh, it'll be here.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be here. It's just wasn't on time for me.
There's one thing the aftermarket does is...
So, speaking of Rod Austin, we're going to drag him on tomorrow. He will be on this episode.
Yeah.
And we have a couple of surprise guests that are coming in. Yeah. I don't want to give them away just in case it doesn't happen because it's kind
of... I hate I'm going to miss it if it does happen.
It could be kind of cool. So one of the guys, without giving too much away, has been a guest before.
Right.
So, but the other one's new. So it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm going to hate that because if you get that, then I have to wait to see that person.
Yeah.
In person.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it's going to be great if I get to see him in person at the place. Yeah. At the place. Yeah.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Follow, like, subscribe.
Follow, like, subscribe. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, for sure. So,
all right. Let's wrap it up and let these people go home.
All right, guys. Well, so far. Go ahead, Sean. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, he's trying to get me to do the voice.
Yeah. Please, go ahead.
Me.
This has been Hot Rod Blues, live on location at the World of Customs in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Hot Rod Blues. I'm your host, Sean Burton, along with my boy over here.
This is Sean, also known as Jack Daniels.
Yeah, we got a couple guys with us that have been helping out on the build over here. So we thought we'd bring them over. And, you know, they're the unsung guys in the background. But we have one guy that's called Other Matt, right?
Well,
Matt
no, Clark. No, hold on. What? So now that... The original Matt is Cadillac Matt. Other Matt is just Matt, or he could be Roadster Matt.
Roadster Matt.
Yeah, okay.
I like that. We'll do Roadster Matt.
Roadster Matt's okay.
I'll own that. Yeah,
it's, okay. It's probably better than Other Matt, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll have to get used to it. Somebody's gonna say Roadster Matt, and I'll still keep doing what I'm doing.
Right.
And the other guy that we have with us is Rod Austin. And Rod, you're from Kentucky.
Western Kentucky.
Go ahead and say where it is again.
It's Calhoun, Kentucky.
Calhoun.
Little small town. Yep. Kind of reminds me of Mayberry slightly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, they call me. A lot of people call me Hot Rod. So when I see your sticker, Hot Rod Blues, I think, dude, you guys ripped off my name, but it's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I
dig it. It's like part of me is like there. But my actual real name is Rod Austin, and I like music, and I like cars, and you know, so the Hot Rod just seemed to stick.
Yeah. And you came down just to help out.
I did. I wanted to be a part of the scene because there's gear hitters around where I live. But you don't quite have this kind of organization and this type of a group pulling off stuff like this. And I'd see it on social media, and I thought, I'd like to be a part of this. And so Greg Boren and his family's been wonderful to host me for the stay down here. And it's been really good.
Heck yeah. Yeah. I remember you come down with your 57.
That's what I was going to ask about. Let's talk about the car, Rod.
All right. So... you know, I try not to talk too much because I can, like, over-detail everything. So I'm going to try to cool up jets and lay back a little bit. But I feel like I owe, you know, guys, like, the story of how I got here.
Yeah.
And so I'd been wanting to do a camping trip at Real Foot Lake for a long time, and I never had. And also a friend of mine up in southern Indiana, Troy Miller, had Dale Watson at his barn one time playing, okay? And that was kind of a connection for me. And so I knew Dale was had a club in Hernando's, and I'd been wanting to check that out too. So it just seemed to be the right moment. And I wanted, and so I took my camper, got my 57 Chevy wagon. By the way, it's a Beauville wagon. It's a 9-passenger. I was told that was pretty rare before I got it, and I didn't even know it. Didn't even know what I had. Anyway, so I got a vintage camper that I built, rebuilt. And that's another story that I pulled behind it. And I went to Real Foot Lake left early Sunday morning, dropped the camper, and was on a mad dash off for Memphis in a town I'd never been in, didn't know a single person there, but I just felt like the experience was calling me.
Yeah.
So rolled in hot to Hernando's, and in fact, parked right beside you, Sean, because Sean had his 55 there, and he says, hey, you can park it right beside mine. And I said, I'll sure enough take it. Because I didn't know really where to park, and I didn't want to step on anybody's toes, you know, because not being from here, and I didn't know anybody. And so I slid it right in there on the front row and got out and looked around and said, I'm in Memphis, bitches. I have arrived. And I felt so proud about that because, you know, I looked around and thought all that year prior to that, I'd been a little over a year. I'd been working on building my 57, you know, putting it together, and it was, you know, I had visions of it sitting in the shop on jack stands with no A-arms on it, no axle, no engine, and what a contrast that now me and the car both then were there. And yeah. So Ricky Neal came over to me. He was the next guy, walked over to me, and I don't know what he saw in my ride, considering the nice stuff that he has, but yeah. Nonetheless, he did. And he walked over, and he looked at my license plate, and he said, you drove all the way from Kentucky for this show? And and I said, well, it's a little more to it than that, you know, it's the lake and the you know, like the camping and the car show. I did know that was going on, and yeah. I want to be a part of that, and, yeah. and the Hernandos and the Dale Watson. Yeah. So it was all that. And I came in, and Ricky said, you come inside, sit down, you know, I'll find you a table. And I couldn't believe the hospitality was just overwhelming. And I pay attention to stuff like that. It means something to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Ricky set me down at a table. Again, he asked me where I wanted to sit. I said, how the heck can I know this? I've never even been here. So he sets me down at a table with Tommy Boren and Greg Boren that, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And the chemistry was good. We just had good conversation.
Yeah, Ricky knew that you guys would get along.
Oh, yeah. I really fell into a gold mine right there, and yeah. I didn't even know it really at the time.
Yeah.
But anyway, before I went in, I was looking at some of the cars there in the show, and one of them grabbed my attention immediately because it just had a look about it that I couldn't quite explain other than to say it was very organic and it just looked very authentic and real. And I asked some guys outside about it, and I said it looks like a Rolling Bones car, and yeah. none of those guys seemed to have a clue. They didn't know them. And I go, okay, well, whatever. So I walked inside, sit down, shoot the shit with Greg and Tommy and all of them. Had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
Ricky bought my meal there. I couldn't believe that. And so I get ready to leave, and I go outside after all that day, and I asked Greg. Then I said, so did you drive a ride here? And he said, yeah, mine's sitting right over there. And he walks out toward the Rolling Bones car. And I said, so this is your ride? And he goes, yeah, it's one I'm driving today. And I said, this looks like a Bones car. And he says, well, that's because it is. And yeah. I was like, hold on. I never do this, but I felt lightning in a bottle, at least for me. Pull out my camera and do a quick little interview then with him on the spot. I don't do that because I don't like putting people on the spot, but yeah. I felt like I need to capture that. Yeah. Because, you know, a few years before, I'd watched that documentary, 3 Mile, and I loved the production of it. I thought the camera shots were amazing.
Yeah, that's a cool.
Just was a good production. Yeah. I mean, you know, because I love stories traveling across country and the realness of it. Not a bunch of fake drama, the realness.
Yeah.
And so to actually be there and lay hands on a Bones car and just something that was in another world to me then was then right there in front of me, it was amazing. And so that's essentially how I got here. And Ricky and all – so immediately after that, so many people here in Memphis started hitting me with friend requests on Facebook and social media. And I didn't know most of these people, but they were all car guys, so I was like, they got to be kind of cool, so I'm going to let them in.
Yeah.
And I just started to kind of spread around like ketchup on a sandwich. It just started spreading around and getting really good. And I met some wonderful, amazing people here.
Yeah.
It's kind of been, in a way, life-changing in the sense of, you know, at least, you know, throughout process. And that's kind of what got me here today, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, go ahead.
No, I was actually The drive down, though, I mean, you just chose this car show out of nothing, or?
Well, just the Dale Watson.
The Dale Watson thing?
Yeah.
He knew that Dale was playing that day.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha,
yeah.
Because
I've been wanting to do the chicken shit bingo.
Right.
Yeah. I've been hearing about that for a while. Yeah. Number one, I wanted to do that. I also knew that sometimes they're having car shows, and somehow I found out they're having a car show on that same event.
Yeah.
And I was going to come down a week later originally, but then I heard that Dale was going back on tour because of the COVID thing was kind of loosening its grip.
Right.
And he was going back on tour. And I was like, well, I got to step this up a game.
Yeah.
I mean, like a week. Yeah. So I took off a week prior, and when the car show was happening, and Dale was going to be there, and I thought, I'm taking my camper, and I went down and set up and went back to my campsite after that day and stayed there for like a week.
Yeah.
And it was a really wonderful, it was like
That's
a three awesome. Thing happened.
Yeah. Yeah, if, in case anybody's wondering what he's talking about. So Dale Watson owns Hernando's Hideaway, which is a 18-something.
Yeah, it's an old building.
1880s, yeah. 90s, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. And
originally, a feed store, as I understand it.
I think that's right. Yeah,
I saw a picture.
It was probably
a
brothel at one point.
I could lie and tell you it doesn't, you know. But
I'd just say it's been a lot of things.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but a really, really cool building that he restored and saved. And it's over in the area near Elvis Presley. Near Graceland and stuff, and just a really cool old building. And,
a lot of history
and,
there.
Yeah, and we started doing cruisings in there like once a month in the summer, and that was actually, I'm trying to think, that was
around
that
April.
Was, yeah,
of
that was probably one of the first ones that we did.
April, I'm thinking 21, I believe it was. I think it was 21, but I know it was in April.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and so really, really cool. Cool little event. I mean, you know, we don't get a ton of cars to show up because it's in a rough part of town and stuff, but we never had any problems over there.
It was fantastic. Yeah. It really, and that was kind of the beginning of what helped me to see the closeness of the car culture there.
Yeah.
You know, and I will tell this, and I don't know that I really openly talked to Sean about this, but I felt a bit intimidated parking by this shiny, nice, slick-looking 55 Chevy that he has, because I also have a 55 four-door.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not nearly what his is. And I did feel a bit intimidated, but he was very welcoming to me, and thank you so much.
Cars and cars.
Especially when I found out it used to be a Skittles car, and then I was like totally okay with it.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I was like, you're in like Flynn at that point.
The pictures of that are amazing.
Yeah. So looks like Rod watches the podcast. If he knows,
I do.
If he knows the Skittles car.
I do.
That's funny. All right. Well, we need to talk to Matt here.
Well, hold on.
I
thought I had something else to add, but no, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, other Matt or Roadster Matt. Sorry,
yeah, Roadster Matt. Now, my question is: how the hell did you get involved with everybody? Because like all of a sudden you just popped up and there's this dude over there quietly working away and whatever else. And I was like, who's this guy? And they're like, other Matt. And I'm like, who the hell's other Matt?
kind of by mistake. The Roadster is really what brought, I guess, me there.
Yeah.
The story of that was I was actually looking for a Pontiac at the time. I wanted a specifically 64 to 70, 72 Pontiac Le Mans Tempest.
Yeah.
And my dad sent me the ad for that Roadster. And it was posted, I think, 30 minutes before he sent it to me.
Wow. Is this the one that you drove to?
It is. Same one.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Same one. Yeah. And prior to that, I had seen a few here and there, and it was always kind of one of those in the back of my mind. Like, I really want to do that, but I always thought it was something just unobtainable, at least at that point in my life. But I had absolutely zero knowledge of even what it was. I knew it was a Ford. I knew it was pre-30s. So I was like, all right, it's probably pretty cool. talked with the guy who was like 15 minutes away. Ended up getting the car. Got it unloaded at the house and started looking into it and realizing I know absolutely nothing. I don't even know what engine's in it. I don't know a thing. And I think from this podcast, I reached out to Mike because I met him probably 3 or 4 years prior whenever shop nights, I guess the first couple of times he did it, I showed up there with another friend of mine.
Right.
So I loosely knew who a few people were.
Yeah.
I reached out to him originally just looking for resources, like, hey, I got this car. Like,
what do I do? Who do I talk to?
What are some great resources that I can look into to get knowledge of what this is and how do I not mess this up?
Yeah.
And he told me, he's like, hey, I got shop nights going on every other weekend. Stop by next week, whichever it was. And from there, just kept coming and hanging out. Yeah.
And then can't get rid of them.
Yeah, no, it's yeah.
By the way, I want to say that shop night is a wonderful thing that Mike does. It is a jewel and another one of those things that I refer to that of that together culture-ness right there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of the Roadster.
Yeah.
When you bought that thing, you really pissed off every hot rodder in the city because you were the first guy on it, and I know Philip, man. Philip was just like heartbroken until he, you know, got to know you. He was like, oh my God, who is this young dude that bought this damn car out from under all of us?
The first two shop nights I went to, when I first introduced myself to Mike, I was like, hey, I was the guy that was talking to you. I bought the Roadster, and he's like, you bought the Roadster?
Yeah.
Like, and then from then on out, every time...
There was a lot of infighting before that, trying to figure out who had it.
Every person that walked through the door, Mike would go, "Hey, remember that Roadster? This kid got it." That's again,
the Roadster kid.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Everybody was jealous, and we have a Facebook group, and we were all talking about it. Oh my God, did you see this? Blah blah blah. And then here Matt comes in with his damn Roadster, and here we are.
Yep, that's it. But so so it's all original.
It
really?
Is, yes. The story that was told to me when I bought it, it was the guy's wife's. Her mother had it, and she got it from, I guess, her father, so the wife's grandfather. He bought it when he came home from World War II, and it was out in somewhere McNary-ish part of Tennessee, somewhere between Memphis and Nashville. And it was there from mid-late 40s up until, I guess, they moved to Memphis, and it came with them, but it had been in that family ever since.
Yeah.
So he gave me, I guess it's like a shoe cobbler's piece that was going to be the gas pedal because it's kind of foot shaped.
Okay.
But
nice.
The story with that and the pieces that he had with it, and it is bone stock original to how pretty much her mother drove it. Yeah. They had stories of her apparently jumping hills in it out towards Jackson area.
Really?
Yeah. Just being a kid driving a 29 Roadster around, just having fun with it. That was the story that came with the car.
It's still got the four banger in it, and all
still
that.
The four banger. Yeah. So the three speed, the banjo.
So in other words, the hills that she was jumping, she was going down a hill. And then
it's getting into trying to fix some of the sheet metal of it. I mean, there's sand and dirt packed into the corners of it. Like she was getting in it. Yeah. But yeah, still mechanical brakes. It is as original as it can be.
So what are you gonna leave it that way?
For the most part, it's going to be still going to be a four banger, still going to be a three speed. I'm probably going to go to hydraulic brakes because I do want to hop up the four banger a little bit. I got a Model B four banger I want to drop in it and do a little bit of hot rod and stuff to it. But I got a little Wico mag I want to throw on it. But other than that, it's going to be as my goal for it, period correct to maybe early 50s. If some 20 to 25 year old kid got it, what was there? What could he get his hands on? And what would it look like? That's kind of my vision for the Roadster.
I want to say I totally respect his approach on that because, you know, from my generation, I come from the generation of just put a V8 in everything. And I mean, that's cool, but at some point it gets a little bit done to death.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's going to leave it that way, it sends some testament to the authenticity of it. Yeah. And he's standing up saying, "I'm going to be a little bit different than you guys."
I
like that.
No offense, but that's being a kid going to car shows. That's what I saw in everything was a V8, or a small block Chevy.
You're
that's
right.
Even more tiring to me now.
You're right.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, a Model A with a four banger. It's not. Yeah. It's not a flathead, which flatheads are still cool. I still want to do a flathead and something, but just an extra level of. A little bit unique that's still correct to the period.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of add a little bit of side story here, I know you said something about a 72 Pontiac or whatever. I have a 1970 Pontiac Le Mans. That's probably the nicest car that I got.
And you up for a trade? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right.
I felt guilty when I bought it because all my life, you know, and having vehicles, it's the only one I've ever just bought that was nice. I've never had that option ever.
Yeah,
but this one was at the right place at the right time and the right money, and I had the right amount of money in my pocket, and I said, "I think I'm gonna buy that," and I did, it's a four door car, but and it has a straight 256 cylinder. I have no desire to change that engine out. In fact, going on what you were talking about being different, if I one of my projects, I don't know that I'll ever get to it, but it's a wish list. I'd rather put a turbo on that six-cylinder and see what I can squeeze out of it and leave the six-cylinder alone. So, yeah. I kind of relate to that.
That's an interesting twist.
I know. I've seen some serious turbo six-cylinders.
I like a six-cylinder. Yeah. I do. I like seeing them in hot rods and different things.
Well, that way I don't really molest it, and yet it still will, like as we say,
you can
shit
always return. I was going to say, you can always return to what it was.
Yeah.
You know? But speaking of six-cylinders, though, you guys see the... There's a 65 or 6 Mustang up there, you know, up in the nice cars up there that it has a 6-cylinder.
We're allowed up there?
You can walk up there every now and then.
I didn't see that.
It's not the one with the red metal flake on it, is it?
No. Okay. It's original looking. Okay. It is original. So it's still, but it's the cleanest looking 6-cylinder Mustang, I think, or saying it's silver. It's up that. On the side. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I respect that. Because, you know, cool. in the car culture, we see so many cars, I'm going to say especially like the Tri-5s or any of them, Camaros, and we see so many with the V8s today, okay? Yeah. But the reality was most of those cars came with the six-cylinder.
Oh, yeah. That's mine. Mine came with six-cylinder. I wish I had kept it. It's actually landfill someplace down here down in Pontotoc.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we had an erosion issue going on, and there was some stuff that just needed to be piled
that's
in.
That's what
there.
You used?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
I've done that once with a Corvette front cowl, the whole firewall. It was burned up, and I cut it off and you used it to plug up a ditch so it wouldn't get any more wash out of it.
Wow.
It's still there.
Wow.
There's somebody in Pontotoc right now going like, what?
Well,
metal detector
from.
Going, what is this?
So, guys, I've been asking everybody, what's your favorite car at the show?
Oh, I haven't looked that much. So I like them all, and I don't know that I can give you an honest answer on that.
Okay. Well, what about you, Roadster Matt?
Probably that Roadster pickup.
Yeah,
that is,
yeah.
Oh,
I
the
get
one
it.
Up here on this
oh,
side.
Yeah, the winner's quick change in the rear. Yeah, that
the
thing's pretty rad.
With the Buick motor in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a strange
that
choice,
one.
Man, but
right.
It's cool.
Yeah, that's one of them different things.
Yeah, to me, the whole combination of it fits for it. Like you were saying, organic. I think it has assault flat wheels on it. With the winner's quick change.
Yeah.
The Buick, it's different enough, but it all still fits in it.
Yeah.
So speaking of salt flats, that is the latest thing that we're all discussing. As far as what happens this year at Bonneville, and I know George Poteet, this might be his last year, and everybody's talking about going. And Matt, you have kind of laid the gauntlet down, bud.
Yeah, I have a specific goal now. I want to put my Roadster on the salt.
Oh.
I want to do that this year.
Yeah, nice. That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Yeah, you might as well do that before you take it apart, because you're going to have to take it apart after getting it out there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, guys, I appreciate you guys stopping
That'd
in,
awesome.
Man.
Yeah,
it's awesome, and thanks for coming to help. I'm gonna try to drag Joel over here in a little while and have him talk about the car. But if you guys didn't know what was going on behind us, we're at the World of Custom
Show. Oh yeah, we never said that. And they're probably
what
is all this noise?
Noise. Well, I've popped in with some of the live feed from that thing. So if you look at the car we're doing now, I mean, it is a 49 Buick we've been chopping, and Rod and Matt have actually been gracious enough to come hang out with us and help us chop this car and actually make it look cool, man. So, yeah, we appreciate you guys coming and hanging and helping out.
Absolutely. I appreciate the hospitality. I kind of follow behind Greg and do what he asked me to do. But I also know when try to keep my distance and say, we don't need five guys with five opinions. We need to just let the dude figure out what to do.
Yeah. Exactly. So, exactly. Know. Well, guys, appreciate you coming out, and thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
And thanks for having us.
See you guys.
For hospitality.
Get back to work.
Over and out. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, man, we got a special guest, one of my good buddies. Here, and this should be a big laugh fest. Alan Hutchison, all sorts of fame. He's probably he's the most famous person in Tupelo.
Local celebrity.
local celebrity.
I have my own waffles at Huddle House. They're called Hollywood Hutch. Huddle House.
No way.
Do they really?
I just said HH. Everybody calls me Hollywood Hutch.
Wow, I didn't know that. I believe that. I believe that 100%.
So I was going to, how I know Hutch, okay, my first meeting with Hutch was at our show when we were, putting Matt's car together, and we were getting ready to basically put the shifter in that transmission that Matt had, and Hutch overheard me say something, and I was getting ready to make just a horrible mistake with his transmission. And Hutch bailed me out. I'd never met him before, and he came over and spent like 10 minutes with us.
I just thought somebody had tripped and it was just laying there.
No, Hutch, he bailed me out of a jam, man. So I was about to make a mistake.
I was watching pretty hard. I said, I'm not sure they know what's going on over there.
So. You were right. We did not.
I said, let me look at this.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I saw Matt a couple weeks ago at Nashville.
Yeah.
At the swap meet. I've only met him one time. And yeah. I remember most people. He come up to me, hey, Hutch, how you doing? I said, you know, I'm always nice. I try to be yeah. nice to anybody. I say, hi, how you doing? Next aisle, he sees me again. He says, you know who I am? I said,
no, not at all.
I really hate to say it, but I really don't. He said, you work on my train? I said, man, I know you are, man.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget him now.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Hutch, you've got, wait, Hardy, you brought your Ford here, didn't you?
Yes, sir, I brought my 63.5 race car.
Okay. And are you racing that car?
I am, absolutely. I campaigned it last year for the first time. I got it from George Poteet. And he bought that car in 2014. We were at the FE race in Pennsylvania. And I've been drag racing since I was 13 years old. I'm 51 now. I've still got my first car, first truck. I've got a 51 Ford truck, a 67 Mustang that I bought when I was a kid. But he bought that in 2014. I said, hey, did you buy me a race car? So I guess I did. And
nice.
I've tried to buy it from him ever since. He never would price it to me. We made a pretty good deal last year, and he wound up letting me have it. And I campaigned it last year, got runner-up in Pennsylvania, semifinals at Bowling Green with it. And
wow.
I'm loving it.
All over the place.
I'm loving it. So, yeah.
Man, you're on the road with that yeah. damn thing.
Raced at Indy, Pennsylvania, Bowling Green. This year I'm planning on Rockingham, St. Louis. So nice. Running the MCA circuit.
Dig that. Yeah. Well, I know that that Mike Abbott did some work for you, so yeah, I'll have Mike to throw pictures.
I took it to Bowling Green in June for the Hot Rod Reunion, and the tech guy says, well, it had a stock gas tank. I put a fuel cell and a roll bar in it. I just, in case I roll over, I do like to be safe. I don't want to roll over, but I want to be safe. And I get up there, and he said, if you hadn't put the roll bar in the fuel cell, you'd have been fine, but the back seat wouldn't pass tech. He said, you got to have a firewall.
Oh.
I said, well, Mike's the metal man, so I'm going to go see Mike. And then Mike sends me pictures. I said, nah, just do whatever you want to. If you can put a Ford Oval in, just joking with him, it'd be awesome. He sends me a picture of Ford Oval that he made, and I said, you have a stamp? He said, no. I said, there ain't no way you beat Real Daddy. So that was easier than the pockets.
Wow.
So he did an awesome job on my firewall and a headrest for it, because everything I put in it changed the rules for me.
Wow. Well, I'm absolutely going to post pictures of it, because it's super neat.
That's the first time I ever met Mike. I love Mike to death. Wow. I talked to him on the internet, you know, but I never met him in person. So I brought my car to him, and so...
Well, good. That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's our very own Mike Abbott is actually a pretty skilled metal guy. Yep. So
I had heard, man, Mike's really, really high. You don't use Mike. I said, we got done with it. I've tipped him. I said, that was a lot less than I thought it was going to be.
Wow, wow.
Well, he's independently wealthy, too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, Mike just does it for the fun of it.
That's right.
It's funny.
But he's very talented. I'm very happy. Everybody has really loved the work. I was going to paint it. I said, it looks too good to paint. I'm not messing with that.
Right, right. I'm with you.
So the next one I went
You guys don't have one of these.
I don't. What is that?
Yeah, that's... I can't tell the story about that on the podcast. It'd be X-rated because it includes Bob Johnson.
But, oh, no.
I introduced our friend Daryl Nelson in Chicago to Bob Johnson in Bonneville. And Bob is known as MFing Bob.
And
So I introduced him to Daryl, and it was about 5 minutes of Bob cussing, and he talked to his wife on the phone and just cussed her out on the phone. And when he got done talking to us, he says, see you in a week, love you. And we got in the truck, and Daryl said, man, you know some really unique characters. I said, welcome to the club. And right after that, the Hutch Club started. He had cards made up.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, it's an exclusive membership that gets you no rewards whatsoever.
They say it scrapes ice really good. It opens locked doors.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It looks like a credit card, man.
It is.
Okay, it's not just a business card.
No, it's a credit card.
And we'll go places, and Daryl will give it to the waitress to try to pay for the
meal. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a total thing. Like, whenever you go someplace, you give them the Hutch card and take pictures and try to figure out how to...
There's a few celebrities have those cards. Ken Digg has one. Yeah. Steve Bailey has one. I mean,
Tom Bailey.
Tom Bailey has one.
Wow.
Lee Holman has one. Lee's proud of his from Holman Moody.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time Zach goes to Pennsylvania, Lee gets a picture with his card.
No. Man, I'm jealous, man.
I know. See?
Sean was one of the original members. So.
Wow.
He paid for it, but he was one of the original members.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Well, he pays a monthly fee.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's the only one that does it.
Yeah. Daryl had to have somebody, some way to pay for him. Yeah. So, you know, yeah.
I want to tell a quick story about the first time we took Sean to Bonneville.
Oh, please.
We got out there, and You know, Sean likes to drink beer. Everybody knows that. And none of our group drank any beer. And I think Sean bought like 5 cases of beer. And
there were like 20 people, 25 people. So I'm like, well, we're there for 4 days. So,
Sean bought like 4 or 5 cases of beer and like 3 dozen powdered donuts. And we ate a lot of the donuts, but we didn't drink the beer. I think Daryl drank 1 or 2 just to make you feel better. But we had like 2 dozen donuts left on the way back to the airport. Well, my buddy Zach Straits, he's Sean's best employee. Don't get paid, and he works for free, but he's his best employee.
Yeah, Zach is right now at Detroit Autorama, so a lot of the stuff that you see posted on
he's missing out on all the fun.
Right, isn't he?
So we're headed back to the airport, the 100-mile drive from Wendover back to Salt Lake City, and we're sitting here with like 2 dozen powdered donuts. I love Zach like a brother.
Good Lord, that one's loud. In case anybody's wondering, we didn't say what we're doing, but they're chopping the top off the car right now. And, of course, Mike has to hit the
sawzall
thing. Yeah.
So, Zach, my brother from another mother. What I tell you.
Right. Should we just hang on a second?
I tell Zach he's my brother from another mother. But anyway, we're driving down the road at 80 mile per hour, just speed limit. I said, what a powdered donut would do if it hits the windshield. So we roll the window down. It was just a huge cloud of dust. We're like little kids on South Park. We're just laughing our butts off.
Yeah, because we're in the front car, right? And we're like pull forward, like, you know, because they're thinking, you know, they want to, you know, they need to say something or whatever.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So pull them up, you know.
Yeah. And Zach, we start rapid fire.
Zach rolls down. Yeah. Zach rolls down the window. And we're like, just chunking them, and they're just bouncing off that rental car, and he's like.
So if you ever get a chance, throw a powder donut to somebody. It's hilarious.
Okay, I'm in. Yeah.
Well, when I was and this is going to sound horrible, but yeah, when I grew up at a small town in Mississippi, that was kind of our thing, is to ride down the road and hit signs and mailboxes with bottles.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, but you tear things up with that powder donut, ain't going to hurt a thing, but it sure is
true.
Funny to watch.
I know. My brother-in-law, man, was he could do it from the driver's seat and hit signs on the passenger side.
My dad drew good, papers as a kid.
Yeah,
taught me how to do it. Now, poof, ding.
It's got to be a Mississippi thing.
I guess so.
You know, I grew up in Coldwater, so, yeah, that's the deal.
That's hilarious, man. No, that was so much fun. We ended up calling that group Rolling Donuts.
Sure did. I almost wore the shirt today.
Did you? we have shirts made up, say Rolling Donuts on them.
Man, you know, all this Bonneville stuff, you guys are having the time of your life, man.
Well, we had so many donuts that somebody took a bite of one, and then somebody asked me questions. Well, you ever eat with a donut in your mouth? So then everybody has to take a donut and try to talk. And Zach videos everything.
Yeah. So we were doing that with beer. You had a beer, you take a bite of a donut, and then you take a swig of beer, and then you have to try and talk.
Yeah. I just held the beer up.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's super
stuff
cool.
Like that. We wasted a lot of beer. We also made like 6, I don't know, they were military guys, I think, that we made them super happy because, like, we always, when we go out there, we buy a tent, buy some chairs and whatever else. And, well, you know, I mean, we all fly out there, so what are you going to do with them? So these guys had just gotten there when we were leaving, and we had all that beer. And all that beer, all the chairs, whatever else, and they had just pulled up next to us. We were getting ready to leave the area that we were sitting at, and we were like, "Hey guys, y'all want some beer?" And they're like, "Yeah, like, how about some chairs and a tent and whatever?" They're like, "Dude, this is awesome."
You know, we gave a lot of that beer to Troy Trepanier's crew. They really like it too.
Oh, did they really?
That's true. Yeah. Now you did tell them it's from me, right?
I did.
Yeah.
You know, we got there and we got a tent given to us. We had chairs. When the people were leaving, we got their tent. So we were like heroes. We gave the tent to somebody.
Oh, man. Well, good for you, man. Good for you.
So had a lot of fun. So.
It looks like we're trying to go to Bonneville this year.
Bonneville's awesome.
Yeah. It's a bucket
list.
We went to the
boat races last year. So I took my friend Jeff Burns. Jeff Burns Racing Engines. He's always wanted to go. So we took him last year. And it started raining on Friday night. It was knee deep Saturday morning, and called it off. And I said, "Jeff, it's all your fault. It's never rained this much till you came."
Wow.
I've been there when it rained.
Yeah. Well, it's rained every time I've been there. Yeah. It just never flooded.
Yeah. I got you. Well, Matt, I mean, you were the one that was called off, right?
Yeah. I went, I don't know if it was 2015 or 16.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wasn't it 2 years in a row? Or was it?
Yeah,
it was one.
I think it was 15 and 16 that got canceled.
Yeah.
I think it might have been 16 when I was heading out there.
13, I think, got rained out. 14 or 15 got rained out because I think 14 is the year George wrecked. And the salt was really bad that year, and that's one of the big factors of the wreck.
Oh, okay.
So,
gotcha.
Yeah, so when I went out there, it was like 6 inches of water all the way across. Yep. I was driving by myself out there and got about 2 hours from there, and they canceled it. And you're this close, you might as well drive in, which is cool because down at the Nugget, there's still a car show going on.
There's a car show every night at the Nugget.
Yeah, nice. There's people everywhere.
And if you like Bones' car, that's a bunch of those cars.
Oh,
the Bones brings like 20 cars. Yeah. There's actually a video on Amazon Prime called
Three Mile.
It's about the Bones and the 56 car that George had was in that video. Yeah. They were robbing parts off it to put on somebody else's.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, out of everything that he has, and that's a pretty specific car. It's on my phone. It's the desktop on my phone that car is. So
the guy in Phoenix named Frenchy DeHoy, he's a well known for restoring Volkswagens, and they called him Dr. Detail. He paints all of his cotter pins and everything.
Ooh,
and
wow.
He came to visit the farm and he said, I want to see the Bones car. That was his, and I took him for a ride in him while I was there. And he had helped us build the Toyota pet for the Tupelo Museum. When the Toyota came in, I was on the crew that we restored the Toyota pet.
Okay.
For that.
So, wow. That's amazing. Let's talk about that.
The Toyota?
It's a 1957 Toyota, Toyo Pet. It was actually Toyota, D-A, like Yoda in the Star Wars.
Yeah.
But when Toyota was coming to Mississippi, when they built the Blue Springs plant, the city of Tupelo wanted to do something to commemorate it. So they searched around and found the first year that Toyota was imported in the United States was 1957. And it looks kind of like a miniature 57 Chevrolet. They were pretty neat cars. You could hand crank them and stuff like that. And they found one up in California that a Prince had. And it was sitting in a warehouse. It was real low mileage. Got it shipped over here. And Frenchy had restored a Toyota Pet before. It was a Crown.
Yeah.
And so Frenchy come down and kind of overseen it. We had a guy paint it. And we did all the mechanical here. And when they opened all the Toyota plant, we would take it around.
I'm sorry.
we drove the presidents of the company around. We weren't even supposed to be around them. And we drove the presidents of the company around and some of the executives around, driving around the plants and stuff. And Mr. Toyota, the grandson of the guy that started Toyota, came to Tupelo.
Wow.
And he got in the car and he said, I remember these cars. And we hadn't bled the brakes yet. We just headed out there for their dinner. Well, he cranks it up in gear and takes off inside the museum.
Whoa. Wow.
The CDF has the car now. I don't know where it's on display right now. It wasn't the museum until the museum closed. But they were going to take it around to Toyota dealerships and put it in your showroom, but I don't know where the car is now. So pretty neat car.
I need to find pictures of that. I'm sure they are.
The deal they had when they came over here, they'd sell them to you, and they weren't very expensive. And if you didn't like them, you could ship them back. It had money back guarantees.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So a lot of people didn't like them. They were pretty, unique vehicles.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people didn't like them. They shipped them back. So they got boatloads of these Toyo pets. So what do we do with them? So we don't want them back. Just push them off in the ocean. So they just pushed them off the boat, and a lot of them are in the bottom of the ocean.
Wow.
We were needing a Huffcamp. I said, we need a scuba diver.
Wow. So I guess you ended up having to make some one-off hubcaps for it?
No, we actually found the set eBay. We actually found the car on eBay also. So.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's a neat little car. So.
I love stuff like that.
I enjoyed being on the team. That was pretty cool.
So. I'm not a Toyota guy, but I get it, man. I
guess I'm a Mitsubishi guy now. I work for Mitsubishi.
right. So Hutch, are you got anything going right now as far as what you're building?
I'm building my 67 Mustang that I bought when I was 51 years now, and I bought it when I was 15. It was my first car.
Wow.
And I drove it to high school, college, started drag racing it, and drag raced it for many, many years. And then I got a 61 Starliner, an autocross. I love the autocross, but my Mustang's half the size and half the weight. I think it'll be a little faster.
Yes, so, maybe.
Zach Rogers from Rogers Rodworks, that helps sponsor this show here, he has my car. And we flared the fenders, mini-tubbed it, and
doing a full paint and body and just basically a third rebuild on it since I've had it. And
wow.
So just a teetotal change this time. Hoping it'll be done next year.
Okay. So, we'll maybe see it at this show next year?
Maybe so.
Gotcha. So this is like a normal, this is in your backyard. So
it is.
This
yeah,
is
like
your
10
show.
Miles away, so yeah.
Yeah.
This is where I get to see a lot of my friends. I don't get to see a lot. So.
Yeah. This is a great show.
It is. It's a good show. I really enjoy it. Harold does a really good job with it, getting promoting it, getting people in. And
I've been here one time before. Mike did he chopped another car here,
right?
A few years back, and I came and hung out with him for a day.
I didn't know Mike then, but I remember watching. It's like, man, that's a lot of work in 2 days.
I know. And here we are.
I get tired watching.
Yes, yeah. I know. And here we are. But, yeah, this is a great show. It's the World of Customs in Tupelo, Mississippi. If you guys are in the neighborhood or close, today's the last day, so you're probably not going to make it today.
Got till 3 o'clock.
So. Yeah, till 3 o'clock. But next year, man, keep this one in mind. I mean, it's not that far from our Memphis people to drive down. A lot of our buddies showed up at it. It is a great show. High-end cars, really a good selection of stuff here. So we've all been asking, what is your favorite car here? And it can't be yours. You know, obviously that's it. But what's your favorite walk around?
Oh my God, Sean's sitting here, and I can't say it with Sean sitting here.
Oh my gosh, dare I ask?
I don't have my car here.
It's the blue. Oh no, that would never be my favorite.
Oh! Yeah.
We dog each other out about our cars.
Hey, amen.
I said he starts talking about it. You got a side bike, man. Just don't say anything.
Oh my God,
like dude.
I guess my favorite car that I've seen since I've been here is that blue 66 Chevy 2.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't believe it didn't make the top three. That car is just amazing. Whoever built that car, I know it had a Steve Holcomb interior in it. And it was built over in Alabama somewhere. But that car is just—it's a really high-end car, really, really nice car, and it grabbed my attention. So,
yeah. Okay.
Wow.
I'm a car guy.
Sure.
So we do a thing at the Blue Suede Cruise, which is our big show in May.
Yeah.
And I'm on a crew that picks the best car at the show. There's five of us. We go out and we pick our favorite, or not our favorite, but our best car. And we come back and we vote, and we all vote on the same car. That's the best car, and they win $500. Well, the first year we did it, some of your buddies come up from Meridian, and I picked a 55 Chevy and a 69 Camaro and stuff like that. And I said, you're a Ford guy. Why are you picking Chevy? I said, you told us to pick the best car, not our favorite car.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm a car guy. But I see quality. I like quality, and that Chevy, too, is high quality.
It is.
Yeah. I didn't realize that I was a Barracuda fan.
I love them.
Awesome. This 66 up here, this blue one, it's like three cars away from
the one right here.
Well, and Sean and I had the, a discussion. He said, well, the stance is not right. I'm a child of the 80s. That stance is perfect.
It's perfect for a Mopar.
Look at the back of Sean's car.
Yeah.
Oh,
there he goes again.
Oh, my gosh.
He goes again.
What is Miata?
The stance is perfect on a Miata.
Right.
I wear a Miata. I can't even drive I wear a Miata.
Wow. We finally get to see that car. Sean's got a new garage, and it's finally around. So.
You know, I've seen the pictures of his new garage. Now he says he's going to expand. The man's got a huge garage. He got too much junk. That's his problem.
I think that's the deal, man.
No. It's not huge. I thought it was huge.
Course,
I thought 30 by 40 was huge. I was like, I'll put a lift in there. I'll put in all these cars. And da, da, da.
Of course, he is a photographer. He knows how to make things look different.
Yeah.
Thing looked like it was a 60 by 80. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how big the slot car track
is.
That's true.
Was that slot car track in Ripley, Mississippi at one time?
No. It was in Metropolis, Illinois.
Okay.
Home Superman.
There was a place in Ripley they had drag cars and a slot car track.
Yeah.
And there was one in Virginia in Stanton where Zach lives. We went up there and Zach had drag cars and he had a little scrambler he'd built, and I went up there. I'm starting betting money. I mean, we put $20 on this. Now, who's going to get the best light? I love to I got some friends I go to fights with, and we put $1 on it. I don't know who's fighting. But I put $1. You think I'm the biggest fan in the world. I'm hollering up and kick his butt, you know, and I don't even know who he is. I got $1 bet on it.
Like wrestling and stuff.
Well, that's how we bet. We had, I think we talked about it yesterday. We had a little contest. We had written all the rules on the back of this car we're chopping about when Sean would get here. And everybody
when they would wake up.
Yes, everybody fit time. So
you see did you see the numbers on the back of it?
Oh, I didn't see it. Yeah.
Look on the back sail panel.
Yeah, of when he was going to show up.
Now I'd like to promote something if that's okay.
Please, absolutely.
Every year I do a charity fun day at Holly Springs Drag Strip, and we raise money for Camp Light in Virginia. You know, Sean and I are really big on supporting that. And, you know, the last two or three years, we've raised $4,000 to $6,000 on that fun day.
Excellent.
And last year, we got snowed out and still raised $4,000. Wow. And just nice. People are very generous. And I've always done it in February or March, trying to do it before the show season starts. But we wanted to move it because the weather's been bad. So this year, we got it for April 23rd. It's going to be on a Sunday instead of a Saturday. We have a drag race, autocross, swap meet, about anything automotive you could want. And we always have people come from Virginia, Illinois, Pennsylvania. Just they come from all over for that.
I like a swap meet.
And we just call it Fun Day.
Okay.
And you can run as many as you want. I've already got two grudge races set up, one for $20 and one for maybe $1,000.
And I'm like, you're the one grudge racing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent, man. So, that's not a trek for us at all. So we're going to come.
Sean's been. He's bought the Miata. I don't call it a race car, but he bought the Miata.
Golly. You know, okay. Now, let's back up.
It's a race car because it always wins.
Hold on, Sean. I used to think it was just us that gave him such a hard time until I see some of his other buddies. And here we are, man. How does this happen to you?
Well, they still can't beat the Miata, though. That's
oh,
the thing. Is like,
I gotcha.
You know,
he could have picked a better car, though.
But his Miata would fit in my trunk.
Yes. Yeah.
That Miata was $1,000.
Wow, really?
Yeah. We bought that for $1,000. I put $500 in, and Chris Johnson put $500 in.
Well, man, you've had $1,000 worth of fun in the thing.
We went to the first event, and it was like, we're probably going to blow it up, but, you know, whatever. And this damn thing keeps on running. Like, it just keeps running. And, you know, after the first event, Chris and I were swapping driving, you know, each session and stuff. That car ran, I mean, so all total that weekend, it sat at $7,000 for, you know, for probably 2 hours. You know, there was one point where it was about probably 2 hours straight where one of us was out there on the track. And it just kept on going. The brakes didn't fade.
Is it still on the same motor?
Yes. 198,000 miles on this car.
That says a lot.
Dog crap.
That says a lot.
Of course, it's only pulling 800 pounds, so you know.
Right.
Now he's 2,300. But no, I mean, like, we thought, after the first event, we were like, well, you know, if we blow it up, we'll put an LS in it or whatever, you know. And I've thought about, I really did think about LS swapping it.
Yeah.
But I've had so much fun with it. I'm like, I don't need more power. Like, you know, I've got two other cars that have a lot of power.
But didn't you wreck a Miata with LS?
Yeah. No. Well, no. I didn't wreck that one. I just spun it out. I spun it out.
Such a short car.
Yeah.
With power.
Yeah, and that was my thing. Is like, they say that doing that swap is only, it only changes it just a little bit, but any kind of weight that you get over the nose on one of those, it causes issue after that. So, but I don't really want to go faster. I don't. Like, the thing is so fast in the corners, I don't need to go faster down the straightaways. It's, you know, it's not worth it.
It serves a purpose, and it serves it well. So I get it.
Yeah.
Just drive it and have fun.
It's a damn good drift car.
Really?
Like, dude,
well, that's not really what you're trying to do with it.
No.
So what does that say?
No, but
it drifts when Zach drives it.
Oh, yeah.
No, it just spins out when Zach drives it. So, yeah, Zach's driven it a few times. I don't think there's a Miata that Zach has driven that he has not spun out.
That's right.
Wow.
So, yeah, but see, he brought his, you know, he brought the big gun when he came last year.
Oh, the Focus RS.
Yeah, Focus RS. He thought he was going to beat me, and he still didn't, so.
Wow.
He had four-wheel drive. That thing weighs like 4,000 pounds or something. They're heavy.
See, I want to take my wife's car. She's got that Durango RT all-wheel drive.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be great.
Bring it to Fun Day.
I'd say be really good when it rolls over.
Go. Well, yeah, I'd destroy
like 100 laps if you want to.
I'd destroy the family car at Fun Day. That'd be great.
I'll tell you what, that is one
it's
thing.
It's for charity, though.
Yeah.
It's for charity.
It's all for charity.
We don't need it.
Yeah. Our Fun Day, our local Corvette club, they have the timing equipment. and they like long tracks. You know, I had to calm them down. The good guys' courses are set up for novelists, you know, then they're, you know, 30, 40, 50 mile per hour the fastest. The Corvette Club, they set their crack up. You're running 80, 90 mile per hour. So, look, we got to slow this down a little bit. You know, we're just out here having fun. But even in my 61, I'm running like 70 when I go in the first turn.
Wow. Guys, I'm in. That sounds awesome.
Oh, it's a blast, man. I'll tell you what. I'll have the Miata.
I've hooked a bunch of folks from my stall.
If you can fit in, you can drive.
Really?
Okay. Yeah,
Zach, I took him for a ride in Columbus, Ohio, and he was screaming like a little schoolgirl all the way around the track. Then he turned around and bought a car.
Nice.
And I got another friend named Grant Huckel. I took him for a ride. They went and bought a Cobra.
And I was going to say, you want to talk about somebody who went overboard. Yeah, that was Grant.
Now they bought a little Mustang coupe. They've flared the fenders. It's full cage. They're going all out racing with this car.
It is cool-looking car, yep. Man. That thing is awesome.
And when you see it come back out the next time, you're going to think it's been repainted, bigger wheels, fenders flared. It's a whole – it's got 550 horsepower now. It's going to be a whole other world.
Wow, nice. So, I get it, man. I get it.
Look at that guy.
So. Well, Hutch, thank you for stopping in, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, at some point, let's do a whole episode.
All right. Can I rest? If we, how long is the episode? An hour?
Something like that.
Can I do 45 minutes of a rest and show them?
Please. We'll all get on board.
I don't think I'll be there that day.
You're going to call it sick?
Yeah, I'm going to call it sick.
If you can get
the Hutchmonia.
We'll bring Mike and Javier back in here, and we'll just stand on it all day.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what I'll talk about for an hour, but I can probably come up with something.
Yeah, okay, George.
We can at least dog Zach out for 20 minutes.
Yeah, right.
We got 2 hours out of George, so.
Yeah, we did. Shocking.
We could probably get 4 out of you.
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to be a 4-part Hutch series.
I'm like Ulysses S. McGill and Oh Brother Art Thou. I kind of got the gift of gab.
Okay, yeah, perfect, man. Perfect.
Enjoyed it today, guys. Yeah,
well, thank you, Hutch. Have a great one, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Bye, guys.
Is that loud enough?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, we're good, man.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody, to the Hot Rod Blues Podcast. Sean Brereton here with Sean Young.
Hey.
Got Mike Abbott sitting over there. And we have a special guest. Mike, I'll let you introduce.
Yeah, that's right. This is our special guest, William. And you said your last name was what?
Milstead.
Milstead. Yes, sir.
We met William yesterday. And
the main attraction over there.
Weren't you?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. And how did our conversation start, William?
It was about Ed Big Daddy Roth, if you ever know him. He was he built this kooky little weird version of the Mickey Mouse, and he hated it so much he built the Get Back, and he revenged it, but was the Rat Fink.
Yeah. That's right.
Nice. Right? Yeah.
And we met about talking about, I said, hey, I remember you. You're from up there on stage. And then I met him, and then we just started chit-chatting, flapping the gums.
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
No doubt.
Yeah, and you told me your favorite Roth car was what?
The Beatnik Bandit.
That's right.
If you never heard of it, look up the Beatnik Bandit, and it is all so sweet.
Yes, it is. Wow. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So we got to say, William is 9 years old.
Yep, 9 years old.
Yep, and he is a car fanatic.
Yep.
Yep. And you know, the big thing for us is that you're into old stuff. You're into really cool building and chopping and doing all sorts of stuff like that, aren't you?
I'm not too crazy about today's stuff. I'm interested in back in the old 50s.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yes, amen.
I think we're all like that too. Yes, indeed.
Yes, we are.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So, William, how did you start liking these? Who started showing you cars? How did you get into it?
Well, I was about 3 when I was little. My grandpa bought an old jalopy car. It still ran, but it didn't look so good. So he painted it up, and when I got a little older and knew what rat rods were, this was my first car show right here.
Yeah. Wow.
When he was 3.
Wow. It was a little rat rod right there that I had the Rat Fink on it. And a few years later, about I was 8 years old, and I said, Big Daddy, who is that little green rat? And he said, that's the Rat Fink, boy.
Boy, is that what you call your granddad, Big Daddy?
Yep.
I like it. That's awesome.
Wow.
Very cool.
So, yeah. you don't own your first car yet. What's your first car going to be?
Falcon.
A Falcon, really?
That gasser over there, that old gasser Falcon, I'll have the same model as that.
Heck wow. Yeah. I like that one, man. Yeah. Don't do that. That's going to echo through there. Everybody be hearing that. Shout out to have on the table. Go ahead.
So what kind of car do you ride around in? What kind of car did you tell me about when we were over there talking? You were talking about
66 Chevy 2 Nova.
That's right. It's a wagon?
Yeah, a station wagon.
Super cool.
Hot rod black.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the same one that Sean was looking at, right?
Huh, me?
Yeah.
I'm there?
I think so.
Oh, not here.
Oh,
not
here.
It's not here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what else are you interested in? You're interested in cars. You're interested in rat pink.
Yeah.
You like pinstriping at all? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I never got to because I don't have that little, my hand just shakes a little.
That's okay. You can study that out.
Hey, we know a pinstriper who he shook a lot, but when he held the pinstriping brush,
it was super, super calm.
Dead easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's just something about like having that special little, like, I can't remember what they call it. There's actually a name for it, but like dentists will get it as well, right? Like dentists a lot of times can be shaky.
Yeah.
And then when they have to go to do what they do, it's all calm and
that's
whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. You can do anything. You can do pinstriping. We did a little metal work yesterday. What kind of metal work did we do yesterday?
Well, when I talked about the rat fink, he already was working on things, and he puts the rat fink sign on steel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then flat steel, and he'll put the rat fink on it, but he was just fixing to start on the F.
Yep.
And then when he heard about me, he let me, taught me about the roller, and that's how I got interested in iron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Bead rolling.
Yep. First, I thought building things were hard out of metal, but when you had the right tools, it just.
That's right.
Abra.
That's right.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So when you first asked me to help, you told me, do you have anything that needed to be bolted, right? Because you knew how to bolt stuff real good.
Yep.
Yeah. And you told me. The key to bolting stuff was what?
Righty tighty, lefty loosey.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So
I still haven't learned that, by the way.
He's like,
just
he's like
to my dad.
He's like 73 years old and don't know how to do that. You're way ahead of the game.
Yep.
Way ahead of the game.
Definitely.
Yeah. What else you want to talk about?
Well, I did want to talk about. I don't know.
Yeah.
Talking to the bike. You got it, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, we're fixing to go visit the. And if you come over to Steel Rose in Tennessee, and that's where they build the cars that they're building right now. That's all that beating, banging, and. That's what's going on. They have a little card thing where they like. Have an old jalopy at the car show, and then it takes 3 days. They have to get it done in 3 days.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, they have to take, like right now, they're taking a four-door into a two-door.
Yep.
And they're chop-topping it, ain't that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Absolutely. So, William, I have a question. Do any of your buddies at school, are they into cars? Or?
I don't go to school. I homeschool.
He's at homeschool.
My daughter, she homeschools, so I got you. Yeah. Well, do any of your friends, are they into cars at all?
Said you go to Sunday school.
Nope, they're interested in dinosaurs and stuff. I'm the rat rod kid. I'm the iron kid, probably.
Okay.
Probably the only kid that I play with that has, I'm myself. And
wow.
They think they have to be like everyone else, but I don't think that. I see it different.
Yeah.
I understand.
Absolutely.
My big daddy said that when the first time I started talking, I never stopped. He said that I never shut up.
Well, that's okay. I'm glad.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
If you were just quiet sitting over there, then you probably wouldn't have been up there actually doing stuff.
That's exactly right. Yep. You talking and being willing to come and talk to me is the reason why you got to do some work yesterday.
That's why I got to do some work yesterday. Yeah,
that's how we became friends, is you talking. So that's good. That's good. That's awesome.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, dig it. So your mom said she's going to bring you up to the shop one day and visit the shop, huh?
Yep. We're going to get a... Me and him plan to get a falcon, and we're going to turn it into a gasser.
Nice. Heck yeah. Oh, yeah. Good for you.
Double engine, one in the back and one in the front.
Wow. All right. That's what I'm talking about.
Now you got your work cut out.
Double wheelie bars.
Okay. Yeah.
Exhaust coming out, and it looks like all the way from the... front all the way to the back and looking like this.
Yeah, I like it.
Some old zoomies on there.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you got anything else you want to say before we go?
Well, if you never came down to the auto shop, the thing where they build cars.
Steel Rose.
Yeah. Come down and if you have a kid that likes to talk to like me, if they're interested in metal, you'll have them working in the garage.
That's right. That's right.
They'll be working in a garage all the day.
That's right. That's right. Well, William, it's been fantastic. We're gonna close down the podcast, and then we're going to get back to work. We got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, William.
I appreciate it.
Good job. Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.